Now that would be worth getting out of my seat for. Actually, there is a serious issue here because sometimes you have to set the scene. You have to set the situation for people to hear what's going to happen. And you know, that's part of this Advent Christmas story. Part of our Advent theme is a story of John the Baptist. I'm going to get my Bible for a moment. Have you... Whoops.
I've not moved anything.
You haven't moved it. Have you ever noticed, if you look in the Bible, at the end of the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. We don't often read that book, but we do occasionally. It gets read over Christmas, because right at the end of the book of Malachi, it talks about how one day God will come and he will come suddenly to his temple, and there will be that moment when God grabs the attention. And at the end of the book of Malachi, in most of our Bibles, there is a blank page. There it is in mine. And then the New Testament starts. That blank page represents 300 years of silence. For 300 years, the word of the Lord wasn't being spoken. For 300 years, nothing. Silence. And there was a very mixed reaction. There were some who said, oh, well, you know, God's dead, God's finished, he's got nothing to say. Get on with your lives, just drink and be merry, etc., etc. Get on with life. And there were others who, to be honest, were actually quite glad that God wasn't speaking, because what they did with their lives wasn't honouring to God, and they were rather glad of the silence. And there were others who desperately wanted to hear the authentic word of God. Those who wanted to hear good news. Those who wanted to hear that life had meaning and purpose. That this wasn't just some awful accident, and that this globe isn't just destined for destruction. That our lives have some meaning and some value and some purpose. Some people actually wanted that to be true. And they were desperately listening out, hoping for the day when God would speak. And all they heard was generation after generation of silence. And then suddenly, almost out of nowhere, came John the Baptist. Now, this guy was pretty freaky, I have to say. I mean, his outfits were pretty weird. His diet was amazing. And his message was, whoa, you know, there was no sort of a Strictly Come Dancing, you know, Brucey, nice to see you nice. He went straight for the jugular. He was saying to the people, wake up! It's time to realize God's on the move again. And it's time to get off your butts and do something about it. It's time to shake yourself. It's time to have some changes. God is going to be doing a new thing. Do you see it? Now get hold of it. And he upset people. There were those who didn't want to hear about God at all. There was a religious establishment which just couldn't cope with him because he was just too weird, if you like. And yet there were so many others who recognized that in him there was an authentic prophet speaking again. And the crowds came out in their hundreds. They came out into their thousands, into the desert, middle of nowhere, no facilities. And yet, because there was this great hunger, they wanted to hear something. They came out and they were baptized. There was this huge reaction to John the Baptist. But part of his message was saying, it's not about me, folks. I'm just the forerunner. I'm the one who sets out. This is the prequel, if you like. I'm just setting out what's to come. There's somebody greater than me coming. He pointed towards the coming of the Messiah. And then in due course, when eventually Jesus comes and John baptizes him, John says, he must increase and I must decrease. And that moment when actually there's a shift, and John knows his job is simply to be there as the person who sets the scene. And then Jesus comes. But of course, he had to grab their attention. And it was only, I think, because of John the Baptist's ministry that when Jesus did arrive on the scene in Galilee, suddenly again people were just ready to hear him. Again, there were those who didn't want anything to do with God, and then there were those who were angry. And of course, John the Baptist ended up literally losing his head. There will always be opposition. There will always be anger. There were those who do not want the light to shine upon their dark deeds and will turn angry and violent. John the Baptist knew that. 3 years later, Jesus himself knew that when he died on that cross. There will be always those who do not want to hear the authentic word of God. There are all those who want to dwell in darkness and not to see the light. But there were so many others who did want it. Oh yes, it wasn't all plain sailing. There were times when people walked away from Jesus, it's true. But even so, that was the moment when the light came and John had prepared the way for it. Look at the story on a bigger level. Somewhere out of the Middle East, Iraq, Iran, maybe Afghanistan, Iraq, there was a bunch of astrologers or astronomers or wise men, magi, we can argue about this. And they wanted something more out of life. They were looking. Oh, most folk went about their ordinary business. But they felt that darkness around them. And they saw a light. And they saw a light, something special, a supernova. I don't know what it is. Scientists, astronomers are still arguing about that one. But they saw the light and they knew it meant something. They didn't know what it meant. But instead of just looking through their telescopes or whatever they used in those days and saying, oh, that's interesting, I'll make a note of that. They were moved to think to themselves, we're going to have to do something about that. Most of them looked at the light and thought, oh yeah, nice light, carry on. But some people said to themselves, this means something. It's a key moment. I need to do something about it. And so they went out and they crossed those deserts, taking huge risks. You walk through deserts carrying gold and you are asking for trouble, my friends. The chances of piracy, of kidnap, of theft, of murder was huge. But they came all the way first to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem because they were ready to see that light and they wanted to find what lay behind it, what it pointed to. They had enough of darkness. They wanted to find light. John the Baptist, the Magi, it's the same theme of Advent pointing towards Christmas and towards Epiphany. That all those people, many of them didn't care, but many actually wanted to see that God was at work. There were the Jews waiting for a prophet and the Messiah, and John the Baptist came. There were the Magi looking out for a light and knowing that the light would change their darkness. And sometimes we just have to set the scene and get ready for people to hear and to see what God is doing. Now, be careful when I say this. I know some people think that I've gone over the top about what happened to Alan Greaves last year. That, you know, we've been almost like milking it for what it's worth, the press releases, etc., etc., the plaque down at the community centre, the Christmas carol. We've had television cameras in here, I don't know how many times. Maureen's done, I think. How many interviews in the last 2 weeks have you done?
I've done 13.
13 interviews in the last 2 weeks. Some people think we're going over the top. This is what I think. We would never have wanted it this way. We would all love to see Alan sitting over there now. But what happened to him is what happened, and we can't change that. But if what happened to Alan sets the scene for people to start listening again, and if the things we are doing through the interviews, through the plaque, through the Christmas carol, raise that issue, I know that so many people in Sheffield and across the country have been affected. I had an email the other day from a lady in Hereford who plays the organ in her church, and she wants to play it in memory of Alan on Christmas Eve night and raise some money for charity. I suspect half the clergy in England this coming Christmas Eve night will be preaching about Alan. and what happened here. I might be wrong, but I'm going to suspect, because that story and the story about forgiveness, which Maureen has spoken about, the story about letting things go, that good things can happen, talking about grace in other areas, we've seen that actually with the story of Nelson Mandela as well, who in a different way, different situation, but there was an echo of that same story. We also see a bit of it in Gandhi and Martin Luther King, but supremely in Jesus, something about out of violence and darkness, we go the way of grace and light. And that's what we're doing here. And that's why Christmas Eve night isn't just an event we're putting on. It's not just Vicar and Maureen going and having a big, you know, event. What we are doing is we're trying to use this opportunity which we would never have wanted. But the story is out there. And if we can speak grace into the people of High Green and Sheffield, then I guess we're not doing so very different from what John the Baptist did, pointing to people to the light of Christ. And if on Christmas Eve night, we get out of this building and we go down there and we set the lights over there, come January, every time I walk past the railings, I don't know how Maureen does it, but every time I walk past those railings, I don't want to think about an act of desperate darkness. I want to remember the sight of lights all the way along there, bringing light into that place. And I want us to finish the story, as I said before, in a blaze of light. And I'm hoping and praying that in High Green and in Sheffield, the memory of Alan and the story of Maureen will just touch people's lives so that they are open to talking and hearing about Jesus. Again, we would never have wanted it this way, but that's where it's at. And if we can do that, then we will be doing what the gospel is all about, bringing light and life and grace. John the Baptist came all those years ago to point to Jesus. The Magi saw the star and it pointed to the light to Jesus. And this Christmas Eve in this church, we are going to point to the light of Jesus. And I hope that we could all be captured by that vision. And then in the days ahead, it's not going to be easy, but through the project, through the meals, all the other things, we want to keep on pointing again to the light of Jesus. This will be closure. We will not be doing any of these sort of things in a sense in regard to Alan directly from any in the future. But that work, that ministry, that pointing to the light of Christ will continue. So with John the Baptist, can I just echo that sense of wake up and smell the coffee? There will be coffee served after the service, you'll be glad to hear. But wake up, God's doing something here. Now we can just simply say, well, did it happen? Or we can be part of that and see what by the grace of God he can do. The light of Christ is coming to High Green this Christmas. Let's celebrate in that. Amen.